This podcast doesn't do commercials for a number of reasons that you'll hear me discuss if you listen long enough. But if you want to support this work, feel free to click on the link at the bottom of most podcatchers that says support the show. Half of everything donated goes to addicted people, people struggling with homelessness, and people who are struggling to get out of prison and back on their feet. Enjoy the show.
Poppers are just as easy to pick up in London's clubs and bars. The fact that they're not classified as illicit adds to their appeal amongst users. But all that could soon change. The Royal Pharmaceutical Society says they're dangerous and wants them banned.
And there is sometimes, Madam Deputy Speaker, when something is proposed which becomes personal to you and you realise the government is about to do something fantastically stupid. And I think in those circumstances, one has a duty to speak up. And I use poppers. I out myself as a popper user and would be directly affected by this legislation. And I'm astonished to find that it's proposing to be banned. And frankly, so would very many other gay men.
Welcome. This is the Dr. Junkie Show. And I'm your host, Ben Boyce. And that was British politician Crispin Blunt you heard in the introduction, talking about the topic of today's episode, poppers, or more specifically, amyl nitrite, along with copycat chemicals made to produce similar effects in the body. Blunt was protesting a proposed law in England to ban poppers, and his admitting to using them is probably a big part of why that law ultimately didn't pass. That doesn't mean poppers are legal in England or in the United States, but as long as you don't sell the product as marketed and labeled for human consumption, well then it's not technically poppers. Just like bath salts were just cathinones sold not labeled for human consumption in the United States years back. The story sounds so familiar because it is, and there are always huge problems with any market which the government refuses to allow to be regulated, even by the companies themselves, through labeling and quality control for human consumption. People die because they don't understand how to use a drug, or because they use too much of it, or because it's much more potent than they thought it was. Sometimes it's not even the same drug. Then the government predictably blames their deaths not on its bad drug policies, but on the drug users and the drugs themselves. Talk about job security for politicians. It happens over and over in the United States. It's the reason we're still in the midst of what feels like a never-ending opioid epidemic. Heroin is pretty difficult to overdose on accidentally if you're a regular user. There are stories of Kurt Cobain attempting to overdose on heroin and die, but waking up hours later, no matter how much he took. I used to take massive doses of heroin years back, and neither myself or anyone I know has ever overdosed on heroin alone. People aren't dying from heroin nowadays either. People are dying from the stuff we've added to heroin because of the Iron Law of Prohibition, which says that anytime a substance is illegal, the most potent form of it will become the most common form. It makes sense. If you're smuggling something illegal that can land you in jail, you'd want to fit as much of it as possible into the smallest space possible. The cutting agents, like fentanyls, xylazine, and recently, nitazines, they used to be drug adulterants, but now users are getting a taste for them. And a lot of times, we show up asking for the cut drugs and passing up the uncut drugs. Trank dope is just fentanyl or heroin mixed with xylazine in various quantities, and it continues to cause all sorts of problems on the East Coast. And that shouldn't surprise us. It's what always happens when you do what the United States has done with drug policy and blame users for problems clearly caused by the war against users. These other chemicals are a different ballgame than heroin. But since dope isn't labeled, users can't know what we're getting or how potent it is, even when we test it. That's the only reason we're in the middle of this so-called opioid epidemic at all. All that to say that poppers are in the same category of illegal-to-label drugs. It's not against the law to possess or sell them, but they can't be properly labeled or adequately packaged for human consumption. And because of that, we never know exactly what we're getting. By the way, this seems like a good time for my drug episode disclaimer. I'm not a medical doctor, and this show is not here to offer medical advice. I am a doctor of communication, and that means I study and teach about the various ways that messages travel, transfer, and work to update our knowledge. Our refusal to allow adequate messaging on the containers of these drugs says a lot about how little we actually care about drug users. So since they can't be sold as poppers, they're instead sold as VCR head cleaners, industrial solvents, shoe cleaners, or room deodorizers. They usually come in a pocket-sized bottle with a screw-off cap, so it can be resealed and put back in your pocket after use. And the reason they're as popular as they are has to do with a lot more than the slight head rush that comes with a couple hits. Crispin Blunt, that guy you heard in the intro, he also said this during that speech.
It simply serves to bring the whole law into disrepute. Choosing to ban this, which I've been using, and I know that have been used as an extremely good speech from the opposition spokesman, have been used for decades, respect for the law is going to fly out the window for people whose, if that's the drug that they use. And all the warnings that are contained in paragraph 43 of the Select Committee's report, and particularly that from the Gay Men's Health Collective, saying it results in increased Class A and B drug use and increased transmission of sexually transmitted infections, is obviously going to happen. And driving the supply of these underground simply puts it in the hands of criminals.
Making poppers illegal increases transmission of sexually transmitted diseases. And that's because poppers are good at relaxing body cavities, like the anus or vagina. That's one of the biggest reasons that they're so popular in the gay community, although gay men certainly don't have a monopoly on anal sex. When you use a popper, you get a short head rush, sure, but you also get a longer drop in blood pressure that comes with relaxation of the smooth muscle tissue. And that means those muscles, including the anus, they relax. It's easier to penetrate without tearing the tissue. That's what Blunt was referring to with this claim that laws restricting poppers would cause HIV infections to go up.
They have names like Double Scorpio, Jungle Juice, Extreme Formula, and Super Rush. The product is advertised as a tape cleaner for VHS or nail polish remover. The bottles say not for consumption, but people who buy them sniff or drink the liquid inside, which is alkyl nitrates.
You don't eat poppers or smoke them. Amyl nitrite is an inhalant, which just means you huff it. If you've ever seen someone take out a bottle that looks like essential oils and then smell it repeatedly through their nose at a bar, that was probably a popper. Amyl nitrite was first synthesized by a French chemist named Antony Boulard in 1844. This is a time in history that I'm always surprised when I read descriptions of chemists trying out their own inventions in real time and then writing up their subjective experiences. Ballard passed nitrogen through amyl alcohol and then inhaled the vapors of the liquid that came out. He claims that it made him, quote, blush, and that was it. But after Ballard's discovery, other researchers discovered additional uses for the same drug. It's been used since the 1930s, for example, to treat cyanide poisoning, and that's because of how it works to relax muscle tissue. Here's the technical description from a journal article I was reading to prepare for this episode. When inhaled, alkyl nitrites, which are the larger group of chemicals amyl nitrite is a part of, which also includes isopropyl nitrite, isobutyl nitrite, and butyl nitrite, these chemicals all release nitric oxide in our bodies. And nitric oxide binds to the heme group in another enzyme called glutenylate cyclase. The end result, and here's the important part, is that smooth muscles relax and blood vessels dilate. We loosen up. That blood pressure reduction also does something in our brain. Although alkyl nitrites don't actually cross the blood-brain barrier, they make us feel lightheaded and kind of drunk for a few minutes. It's from the dilation of blood vessels, which increases the blood flow to our brain. That lowered blood pressure has been incredibly useful for doctors looking to treat disorders like angina, a painful condition that often leaves those who suffer from it bedridden with chest pains. Angina is caused by blood vessels near the heart, which are too small, so lowering one's blood pressure and dilating the blood vessels reduces the pain associated with insufficient blood flow to the heart. It's sometimes still prescribed for this today. It wasn't always sold in those small bottles either. The reason that single doses are called poppers is because of how they were once packaged, in individual handheld vials with a glass interior that you could shatter to inhale a nose full of vapor. They would pop when you broke them.
Here you go. All right. Big whiff. Big whiff. Big whiff, sonny boy. There you go. Much better. Now for the doctor.
Nowadays, most people put the bottle right up to their nostril, plug the other one, and inhale deeply a couple times. But I've also seen some clever folks devise more ingenious ways to carry it around, including a sippy straw bottle with a few ounces of popper soaked into a paper towel on the inside. Put the straw up, take a huff, and then seal it back up without worrying about spills. Some people also choose to inhale it through their mouth to minimize the danger of chemical burns. But if you drink it, you can overdose with a relatively small amount. Because, like carbon monoxide, poppers block hemoglobin's oxygen-carrying ability and basically starve our brains of oxygen when we take too much. So if you inhale it through your mouth, you've got to be careful to not drink it. And I'd be worried about somebody nearby watching me do it that way and mistaking my inhalation for drinking. Although the flavor of poppers would definitely alert you right away that you were doing it wrong if you actually tried to drink it. Now, there are some very real dangers worth mentioning, many of them related again to the way poppers have been sold. When they come in contact with the skin, especially on our face, they cause chemical burns. If you've ever seen someone in the club with a red ring around the bottom of their nose, that was probably poppers. You also shouldn't mix them with drugs like Viagra, because both lower blood pressure, which means you can wind up lightheaded or even fainting. But it's worth pointing out that my conflict of interest detector goes off when I hear this claim, and even though it's a really good idea to avoid mixing any drugs, especially two drugs that both cause blood pressure to decrease, it's worth remembering that Viagra is a legal trademark drug which has a big name in the same market as poppers. They're both used to initiate sexual encounters.
Don't let erectile dysfunction get in the way. Viagra, America's most prescribed ED treatment, can help you enjoy a more satisfying sexual experience.
So in many ways, poppers are Viagra's biggest competition. There's also some reports of short and long-term vision loss with poppers, especially in heavy users. And this also seems to point, in my mind, to the importance of legitimate legal supplies and education about how to safely and responsibly use them. It looks like they can cause short-term retinal degradation in some long-term heavy users, but everyone I've seen talk about this who had it happen to them notes that it went away after a short time avoiding using the drug. It also appears to be more correlated with the isopropyl nitrite versions of poppers. Poppers aren't traditionally considered addictive, even though they do increase dopamine levels in rat studies. That's probably because that head rush that we get, it only lasts for a minute or two, and it requires constant redosing. Not to mention, it frequently causes a headache after just a few dozen doses. Plus, poppers produce tolerance, which not only means you have to use more the next time to get the same effects, but also that the overall effects will be reduced the more often you use it. So poppers are a drug that serve an important social purpose, but they're also a drug that carries a lot of social stigma. Since they're associated with the LGBTQIA+ community, they've historically been ignored and minimized in pop culture. It's funny, I was into all sorts of drugs as a kid, and this one was hardly on my radar, although I didn't know why. As I read up on poppers for this episode, I realized stigma had a lot to do with that.
And now that it is June, we are celebrating Pride Month, which kicks off today. According to the Library of Congress, Pride is meant to recognize the sweeping impact that members of the LGBTQ+ community, advocates, and allies have all had on history in the U.S. and around the world.
It's currently Pride Month. And even though capitalism has invaded our parades and commodified the Pride flag to sell cheeseburgers and sneakers, it's still worth remembering that LGBTQIA+ folks still have a much harder time navigating our world, whether it's marriage, employment, education, or drugs. Last week, the Supreme Court issued a number of huge decisions, one of which overturned Roe v. Wade. That was a shock for many who didn't grow up in the church. but for those of us who did, it was more of a foregone conclusion. The folks who have been seen on TV weeping in joy and celebrating this decision, they all had one thing in common. They were blaming their opinions on their God, praising Him for having told them how to feel about this very important issue.
This is the moment America and women's rights went back in time. 50 years after legalizing abortion, the Supreme Court reversing a constitutional right for the first time.
I'm so happy! That's a blessing, it's a miracle from God.
And LGBTQIA plus people might well be their next target, if you think that sounds far-fetched. Wander into a couple of your local churches over the next few weeks and listen to how they're talking about the Roe v. Wade decision there. Many see it as the first step in a larger movement to reinstitute laws and policies that normalize heterosexuality and white picket fencism while outlawing anything that makes square Christians feel uncomfortable. As a recovering Christian, I always feel obligated to wade into these debates and apologize for the behavior of my people. Like Jesus said of them as he was dying, many of them know not what they do. They actually believe that God wants them to do this. And that's a scary thing, because once somebody is convinced of that, who can argue with them using logic, morals, or reason? For goodness sake, the creator of the universe is their boss. So if you're religious or you believe in some sort of God, number one, you might be right. And number two, you're not a bad person. But like all drug users, and religion is indeed a drug, check out my old episodes about it if you have any doubts, you have a responsibility to look around and see how others misuse this drug, how they get into big trouble sometimes and hurt those around them, and often damage society at large. You have a responsibility to rein those people in and to make sure your use doesn't take you down those same paths. I really think it's possible to build a culture where responsible drug use is the norm and where irresponsible use resulting in huge consequences is actually a rare event. But only if we do it everywhere, with all drugs. And only if we replace our hatred of people who aren't like us with a love of everyone who is very much like us. Love yourselves and the addicted people in your life. Happy Pride Month.
They cause relaxation, but the FDA says they can also lead to deadly complications.
They have names like Double Scorpio, Jungle Juice, Extreme Formula, and Super Rush. The product is advertised as a tape cleaner for VHS or nail polish remover.
We just went to a local adult video store and asked for poppers, and there they were right by the checkout. We were able to get these without any problem.